This is Digital Story Podcast number 995, April 15th, 2025. Today's theme is Abstract Architecture. I'm Derek Story. I found myself sitting in the atrium of a Hyatt Regency, looking up. I started to wonder how things would look if I were up there, looking down. What I discovered is a beautiful subject for abstract architectural photography. I tell the story of how this all worked out on today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I don't normally hang out in Hyatt Regencies, but I was there on this particular Saturday, this recent Saturday, because Teresa had a writing workshop there, and she wanted me to write down with her, keep her company, and write back with her. And I go, okay, that's great. You can go to the workshop, and I'll definitely be able to keep myself occupied while you're becoming a better writer. So I had my MacBook Air with me, my M4, of course, my little day pack. I had the OM system, OM3, and had a couple other goodies, had my iPad with me, all in this nice little 16-liter backpack, a low-pro backpack. And I was a pretty happy guy. I mean, I started out with a cup of coffee there in the atrium, and I opened up the laptop, and I was doing some work. And by the way, side note here, I have a couple side notes on this story. So the atrium at the Hyatt Regency, and I'm down in near Burlingame, near the airport, SFO. It has a giant windowed roof. Not the whole thing, but there's a lot of big windows up there. So I was sitting at my little table with my coffee and my laptop, and at one point the sun comes beaming in over my shoulder. So the clouds had kind of parted a little bit, and it was really bright. And it felt good. It felt good to have the sun on my shoulder and on my back and everything. But it was bright in the sense like outside bright. And I'm going, oh, this is interesting. I wonder how this is going to work with the laptop. Because the one trade-off, or one of the trade-offs with the MacBook Air, is that the screen isn't as bright as the MacBook Pro. And of course, it's a little different technology too. So I'm sitting there working on the laptop, and the sun's shining on the computer, and I could read it just fine. Now, I did turn up the brightness, but I could read it, and it was almost like there's a polarized lens on the side of the screen that's facing me. And I'll admit, I don't know the construction of all these different screens. I just know what I like, right? But it was working so that the sun could be shining on it, and I was still having no problem reading the screen. I was doing writing, actually, and everything worked out fine. And I go, how convenient to have this little test, unplanned test, that I didn't even realize I was going to have. So I just wanted to report that my first test with it, anyway, with the sun shining on the screen, worked out great. Yes, I had to turn up the brightness, but I had no problem reading it. Much better than other laptops that I've had in the past. So anyway, I'm working away, checking things off my to-do list. It was quite nice doing a little people watching. You know, there's a lot of people milling around there in the atrium. There was a couple workshops going on. Then I kind of go, I need a little change of pace. Now, normally I get a change of pace because the battery runs down on the laptop, starts getting low, and you go, uh-oh, battery's getting low. I have to stop working and do something else. But I didn't have that excuse because the battery hardly budged on the M4 here. So that excuse no longer exists. You know, you're going to have to find a different reason or a different thing to tell yourself to stop working, because running out of battery is not going to be viable anymore. So I said, okay, I'm going to go outside and take a walk because it was a beautiful day. And when you're down in that area, south of San Francisco, near the water there, There's usually a breeze, and it's quite refreshing, very refreshing. So it was a sunny day. The sun had broken through the clouds. Had the nice, refreshing breeze. And they have a walkway that goes along the water there, and it goes along all the hotels that are lined up there, you know, facing the airport. You know, they're basically hotels where people stay when they come in or they're getting ready to fly out of SFO. I had a lovely walk on this pathway. I brought my camera with me, the OM3, but I wasn't really finding anything to take pictures of. There were some shorebirds, yeah. There was some activity with the airport and the airplanes and stuff. It was a cloudless day at this point, so the sky was just, you know, regular blue. There were some people on the walkway, but, you know, they weren't really working for me either. Doesn't look like this is going to be a photo op, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. Not everything has to be a photo op in my life here. I'm just going to enjoy the walk. So I kept walking, and there was a Marriott up in the distance there. It was about 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes walking from the Hyatt. So I get up there, and they had this crazy atrium. It was huge, facing the water. And I go, that looks neat. And I saw a little Starbucks sign, and I go, ooh, that looks even better. Because the coffee I had back at the Hyatt was not very good. I'm sorry. And it was expensive too. So I go, okay, I'm going to go get a coffee and check out this atrium. So I do that. I get an Americano, and it was delicious. And I found this nice seat in this giant atrium, looking out over the water. And there's a few other people kind of scattered around. And I said, all right, I'm going to do a Spanish lesson. Since I've been back from Costa Rica, I've been doing Spanish every day because I had such a great time in Costa Rica speaking Spanish that I didn't want it to end when I got back. It was so much fun. So I go, you know what? I'm going to sign up for something and I'm going to practice Spanish every day, which I've been doing. Another side note here, I settled on Duolingo and I really like it. I like their approach to teaching Spanish. They build a lot of confidence. You know, the steps are gradual, and especially if you have a little bit of a background, which I do with the language, just fall right into it. I'm sitting there in the atrium, and I go, I'm going to do a couple Spanish lessons. My streak, by the way, is I think it's over 65 now. So I've done every day since I got back from Costa Rica that I started Duolingo. I haven't missed a day for Spanish lesson. Now, I usually do them in the morning when I first get up with my coffee. But today it was kind of a rush to, you know, drive all that way to get to the workshop for her. So I didn't do it. So now I'm sitting there in the atrium working on my Spanish with my AirPods in my ear. And I was just having a lovely time. It was really wonderful. Knock out a couple lessons, finish my coffee, and it was time to walk back. So I stroll along the shore, get back to the Hyatt, go back to my seat that I had there in that atrium, and going, what am I going to do? Because at this point, I had already done a lot of work most of the morning, and I didn't really feel like working anymore, per se, to-do list work. And I really wanted to take pictures, but there had been no photo opportunities. And I was going, I don't have to take pictures everywhere I go, but, you know, when you're somewhere different, you go, there's got to be a cool shot here somewhere. So I'm sitting there at my little table in the atrium, just sort of looking around, and I start looking up, and I keep going up and up, and I go, wow, this is a crazy place. And Hyatt Regencies usually have this wonderful center areas. The hotel is usually built around this beautiful center area. And I'm looking up and looking up, and on the top floor that you could go to, they had a walkway that had a clear view back down where I was sitting. And then it also had a clear view looking out these giant windows they had there out into the water and the airport and all that. And I'm going, that looks pretty cool. So I got a little bit excited about that. Pack everything up. I head up the elevator and I get up to the top floor and navigate over to this place that I saw when I was sitting in the atrium. And it was cool. I mean, it was really cool. First of all, when I was looking back down on the interior of the hotel, I really had an appreciation for the design of this place. I mean, it was like a little city park down there. I mean, they had, because they have so much glass on the top, I mean, they had living trees inside, and they had all these little different levels. And of course, they had the restaurant, and then they had an eating area for the conferences and the coffee bar. And they even had, was it Top Golf, I think they call it, you know, where they, you can go and you can be like in a virtual driving range. They had one of those. It was pretty wild. And I was just kind of looking at everything, sort of studying the architecture, really appreciating everything that had gone into this design. And then behind me, out these windows, there was a nice combination of the architecture of the building and the way the windows were designed, and then the view on the other side of the windows with the water and the airport and all that. So I'm going, I have some real photo ops here. I don't know how it works for you, but for me, when I first see something that I think has photo opportunity, it's a little overwhelming in that I'm taking in all of it. I'm going, wow. So I usually have to just sort of wait a few minutes and start to digest what I'm looking at. And that's what happened here. I started out with the ultra wide lens and just took a picture of the whole interior, just because I thought it was magnificent. And, you know, I wanted that scale. But then I started noticing different areas inside that were just cool elements. And sometimes they were even designed like a little bit like an Escher design. They were kind of optical illusions. And you go, oh, are those stairs going up or down? You know, that kind of stuff. I was taking all that in. And so then I started to tighten up my focal length a bit and kind of zoom in on some of these elements. They made really, I thought, really interesting abstract pictures. Now, they weren't totally abstract because you knew what they were, more or less. But they were fragments of the overall design. They were components in this overall design. So in that sense, you know, they were design elements. I took a number of shots up there. I was having a good time. I turned around and took some shots out the window too, using the window. I didn't think there was many photo opportunities there as the interior, but there were a couple good ones. I spent some time up there, and then I just spent some time just enjoying the view and just hanging out. It was open. You weren't behind glass or anything when you're looking at the interior. Had a nice railing you could kind of lean against and just watch the world go by, watch people doing what they're doing. Got my shot. And then I headed back down the elevator, and I went back to my same spot, my same little table there at the atrium, opened up the laptop, started kind of looking at the pictures. I thought it was very interesting. You know, a lot of times I'll take shots because I know I'm going to need them at some point. And so I take a lot of shots because I'm my own stock photo library, so I don't want to use other people's stuff, and I don't want to use Unsplash or anything like that. If I'm writing an article about something, I want to use my own shots. And I thought it was interesting that I didn't know what I was going to use these shots for that I got at the Hyatt Regency, but I knew that I would use them. There would be something at some point where these shots were perfect and they were interesting. I took my time. I lined them up really well. At some point, they'll be part of an article or something else. Now, I'm running one of them in the show notes so that you can see one of the sort of semi-abstract shots that I'm talking about and get a feel what's going on with this whole story. But my bottom line here is a lot of times where we expect to get photos, like for instance, I thought for sure I would get shots when I went outside for the walk, along the water, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes where we expect to get photos isn't where we get photos. And then sometimes we just have to sit there and absorb wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and then the photos start to come to us. I'm not an architectural photographer, but I had slowed down enough, in that moment, and I was definitely in the moment, to where I began to see shots that I probably wouldn't have seen if I was just, walking around or being obsessed with something else that was going on there. And it was just a good reminder for me that it's great to slow down with an open mind and just look around and just really marvel at often how interesting this world is that we're in. I came home with my shots, but they weren't the shots that I thought I would be taking. Let's do a little camera industry news here. I'm going to start out with an article that's on Lens Rentals, lensrentals.com. I have a link in the show note. And it's called The Biggest Releases in Photo and Video for Spring 2025. And there has been a lot going on here. And so I'll read you the opening paragraph and mention some of the items that they're talking about. Many big announcements in photography and videography scene happened in the spring. With WPPI for the photo world and NAB for the video world, most brands schedule their big releases around these trade shows. We were back in attendance at both NAB and WPPI this year, and we're grateful to meet so many of our customers. We were also excited to get our hands on some of the latest tech for photo and video worlds. Because of our attendance and ability to see and touch some of these most significant announcements, we figured it was time to highlight some of our favorite new products, so buckle up because this will be a particularly lengthy post. Now, I'm not going to do them all here. Some of them are super video specific, kind of outside of our audience's interest, but there are some that I do want to mention here, and they start out with the EOS R50 V or 5. Canon is highlighting the EOS R50V mirrorless camera as a dedicated vlogging kit aimed at content creators seeking an integrated solution for video production. The EOS R50 is a compact mirrorless camera that features a 24.2 megapixel APS-C sensor, oversampled UHD 4K 30p video recording capabilities, and an advanced dual-pixel CMOS AF2 autofocus. It also comes with several key accessories designed to streamline vlogging workflows. Now, along with that, they're also talking about the Canon RF-S 14 to 30mm f4 to 6.3 IS zoom lens. Canon has launched this lens, a compact and versatile zoom designed to complement its APS-C mirrorless camera, particularly the R50V, offering a 22 to 48 millimeter equivalent range and optimized for video with its power zoom and image stabilization features. The lens optical design featuring a spherical and ultra-low dispersion elements, along with super spectra coating, aims to minimize aberrations and enhance image clarity, while its close focusing capabilities and quiet STM autofocus system further solidify its appeal for both still and video content creators. And then they also talked about the Canon RF 20mm f1.4 lens. Canon has designed the RF 20mm f1.4 to meet the demands of both photographers and videographers, offering fast ultra-wide angle prime optimized for modern hybrid shooting workflows. This L-series lens emphasizes high image quality through advanced optical elements like UD and BR glass to minimize chromatic aberrations and specialized coatings to reduce flare, while its f1.4 aperture benefits low-light performance and depth of field control. Then they go on and talk about the Fujifilm GFX 100RF, a camera that we've talked about here. In a move merging high-end imaging and everyday practicality, Fujifilm has launched the GFX 100RF. This camera notably houses a 102 megapixel medium format sensor, that's 102, typically found in larger systems, within a sleek rangefinder-inspired body. So they like this camera, it is on their favorites list. So it's interesting that the Sigma BF did not make this list. And that surprised me a little bit because I'm not going to read a news story about it, but Sigma announced that they're not going to be able to ship all the pre-orders of their new camera, their new made out of a solid chunk of aluminum camera, because they were surprised by the number of orders and they're a little behind on production. It seemed like that camera should make this list because it might not be everyone's cup of tea, and I'm talking about the Sigma BF, but I'm telling you, a lot of people are attracted to this camera. The pre-sales were phenomenal for it, and I would add that camera to this list as well. Again, the link to lensrentals.com is in the show notes, and you can check out the other items on the list if you wish. I'm going to talk about Nikon for just a second, the mother of all firmware updates. I'm going to read you just a little bit from the Nimble Photographer newsletter that went out last Thursday that was dedicated to firmware 2.0 for the Nikon ZF. I was so impressed with this firmware update. Having just captured a beautiful wedding this past weekend with the Nikon ZF, I was already starry-eyed with the camera. It performed so well. Then I learned that the much-rumored firmware 2.0 dropped. Now our fates are forever intertwined. Firmware updates are one of the great joys of digital photography. When done right, they invigorate the camera's performance and add new features as part of the bargain. The latest from Nikon has so many goodies that I don't have time to list them all here, but you can see for yourself on the firmware update page, and I have a link to that in this post. I've been exploring the new features for the past two mornings, and I still haven't gone through them all. It's that big. But I do have a few favorites to share with you now. And I'm just going to list off a few of my favorites, and then I'll list just a couple favorites that other people have sent to me since or commented on this post. And by the way, if you don't get the Nimble Photographer newsletter that comes out most Thursdays, not every Thursday, I cover stuff there that I don't normally cover on the podcast, just so you know. Non-CPU lens data, which is a small thing in this overall firmware update, but it was a big deal for me. Nikon ZF photographers generally love manually focused lenses, but unfortunately those optics don't share XF data with the camera. Last week I wrote about one such lens, the 7 Artisans 18mm Pancake, and how much fun it was to shoot with this sub-$100 super wide. Fortunately, Nikon provides a way for us to include some XF with those images, and with firmware 2.0, non-CPU lens data allows for even more information. I can now add the lens name and the aperture to the metadata, along with some of the other fields. Now, this for me is just so big because, for instance, that 18mm is a fun lens. I've shot with it again since I last talked about it. And now in the metadata, thanks to this firmware update, I can actually have the name of the lens in there. I can have the aperture that I shot with, which is fixed at f5.6. And there's a couple other things I can include in there as well. So now when I look at the metadata shot with that lens, I have most of the normal information that I would have with a regular CPU communicating lens. And I just think that it's so nice because we get so many pictures in our library, shot with so many different lenses, and not to have metadata for every lens that I shoot with, for me, is a bit of an issue. I want to know. I want to know all the data for everything that I shoot with. So I was really thankful for that little thing included in this gigantic firmware update. They also gave us connectivity to Nikon Imaging Cloud. And with that connectivity, by the way, the ZF did not have connectivity to that cloud before, we can now download picture profiles, creator picture controls, created by people like Vincent Versace, Preston Luke, goes on. There's a whole bunch of them in there. And so basically, in my case on the iPhone, going through SnapBridge, I connect to the Nikon Cloud. I can browse all these cool little picture controls they have, these creator picture controls. I see one that I like, and then I can download it right onto the camera. It's so much fun. And then you can swap them out, you know. So if you decide, oh, that one doesn't work the way that I want, then you can swap them out. So now I have the ones that were included with the ZF. I have the ones I've talked about before, created by third party. And now I also have another set by these people. So I've got all sorts of creative picture controls right there. You can mark your favorites, all that good stuff. That's an addition with this firmware update. And now I can also apply future firmware updates via the system as well. They added birds to subject detection, which is really cool. And then Jim Kuzman, one of our virtual camera club members, wrote me about Cycle AF, which allows me to just press a button. I reprogrammed the video button for Cycle AF. So you just press the button and it takes you to a different AF pattern. And you can go through all of them. Just bang, 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 push the button. It's so easy and it makes it so much more reasonable to switch AF patterns using this. That came with a firmware update. And now auto ISO can be attached to the ISO dial via the C. The Nikon has the C on there, just like with Fujifilm cameras. So that can be auto ISO. And then all the other ISOs, 100, 200, 400, all that stuff, are what they are. And it was a little bit murky before. That's all cleaned up. It just goes on and on and on. If you have a ZF and you haven't downloaded firmware 2.0 yet, I highly recommend it. One other note I want to talk about right here is that we have a new workshop in our workshop lineup for 2025. This is the Route 66 Photography Workshop that starts on October 16th, 2025. This will be led by Rob Knight. So this is a physical workshop, kind of our normal thing, 4 days. Let me read you what Rob wrote about this workshop. Join pro photographer and Route 66 explorer Rob Knight to explore the Mother Road this October. We will be based in Winslow in Kingman, Arizona, putting us in the middle of the action. The stretch of Route 66 through northern Arizona contains many of the most iconic spots that still exist from the heyday of American car culture. We will visit towns along Route 66 like Oatman and Williams, Arizona. Along the way, we will explore and photograph the roadside attractions that made Route 66 so legendary. The workshop will begin and end in Las Vegas, Nevada. The group will depart Las Vegas early on October 16th. Participants are encouraged to arrive in Las Vegas on the 15th to avoid travel delays. The group will return to Las Vegas by 4 p.m. on October 19th. So you can reserve your spot by clicking on the link in the show notes or by going to our workshops page via the digital story of the Nimble Photographer. Deposit of $250 will reserve your spot for this event. The Route 66 Photography Workshop led by Rob Knight on October 16th, a new addition to our workshop lineup. While we're talking about workshops, let's also mention the Sony Creative Masterclass online workshop begins May 8th. Creative Camera Techniques, led by me, starting on June 5th. That's another online workshop. And then the Sonoma County Autumn Adventure Workshop, also led by me, starting on November 4th. And that's where we go to Safari West, the world-famous Coppola Vineyard, and many more beautiful photogenic spots. It's just a great time, beautiful time of year to be in Sonoma County for sure. A little fall color, great weather, good food, a little bit of wine. You can't miss. You really can't miss. All of those are listed on our workshop page, and you can get there through the Digital Story or the Nimble Photographer or clicking on the links in the show notes. Let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. And by the way, Inner Circle members, you will receive your Inner Circle discount for the new workshops as well, the ones that we've added. That includes Route 66, the Sony Creative, the Autumn Workshop in Sonoma County. All of those, you are eligible for your 10% discount, which I tell you, that adds up. If you want to become an Inner Circle member and support this community, all you have to do is click on the Patreon page. That's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can sign up there. Then you will receive an invite from me for joining our space on Derek Story Online just for Inner Circle members, your discount code for workshops, and you will just become part of a group that is one of the more enjoyable groups I have ever spent time with, and I mean that. This is a great bunch of artists. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge Red River Paper, longest-running sponsor of the Digital Story. These are the people that make inkjet printing accessible for people who don't consider themselves expert printers, which is most of us, right? We know how to take pictures. We know how to process pictures. But then we get to the printer and suddenly we're going, I don't know what to do. Red River Paper can help you with that. Their site is filled with lots of information and is information geared toward the kind of printing that you want to do. Do you want to be printing out portraits? Do you want to print landscape? What do you want to print? Black and white? They can help you with that. If you want to print fine art greeting cards, they have templates for that and instructions on best way to do it. So not only is it the place while you're there to get your printing paper, you can pick up some ink as well, but then you can learn how to do the kind of printing that you want so that you have the same confidence outputting your work as you did creating it. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on it, get started, get yourself some printing paper, and start making some beautiful art. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff. I'll be on location next week. You'll find out where in the next podcast. Until then, get out there, take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.